You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. I feel reunited. Feel so good. Back with the brothers. My man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing well as, you know, as we move into the month of October, you know.
Yeah, man.
2023 is like, yo, I'm not trying to stick around for real.
Clearly, that mug is almost, we almost there. Yeah. My man, Longevity, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, man. It's good to see you.
Yep.
All right. My man, DJ J. Dill, what's happening?
Salutations.
Everything good, man?
Yes, sir.
Good to see you, brothers, man. Back from the South. I really like the South, man. That's my speed down there. Really like the South.
I mean, where did you go?
I was right outside of Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
So, a lot of Georgia pines, a lot of space.
1971st, it happened.
There it is.
I was born in West Savannah. Talk to before him. I started rapping.
There it is. Shout out to Savannah State, Shannon Sharps. Alma mater. Okay. No, it's nice down there, man. I had a good time with fam and got a chance to be unplugged a little bit and get some country and some good food and just relaxation. So
you didn't get a chance to shake some ass.
That's cool, man. We didn't ask you how your trip was, though.
I mean, you know,
he just volunteered out there, all that info.
The people out there might have wanted to know alone.
You just chill mode. You go out, you know.
Yeah. No, I ain't gonna tell something. You no more now, since don't nobody want to know.
Shaking your ass. Yeah.
Down south, you can shake no ass.
So this wasn't
that was fun, though.
This wasn't a family reunion?
No, nah, this is just a trip. Yeah, just a trip to visit some fam. And
So do you actually have family that lives there, or did you have fam traveled there?
No, my uncle lives there. Yeah, so we surprised him for his birthday.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, man. So a lot of good food. I messed up on my eating habits a little bit.
It happens.
It's a vacation, man. So I was
I've never been on a vacation and stuck true to whatever
at all
habit I had if it was healthy at the time.
Yeah, it's a wrap for that. Yeah. So about 5 bad days, but we'll be all right. Back in the saddle now. You know what I'm saying? Jay Moore, I got a question for you. Did you see Vladimir on, is it Pierce? What's the... You know,
Piers Morgan?
Yes.
I'd say the Piers. No, it's not Pierce. It's Piers.
Yeah. Is it Pierce? Pierce. Okay, I'm sorry.
Like P-I-E-R-S.
Thank you. They interviewed him, and Vlad was basically saying that he solved the Tupac case because Keefe D got picked up. Did you see that?
That's not what he said.
So I'm glad y'all said that, because that's the way, when I saw it, you got to think, guess who I saw it from? What's my boy's name that hates Jay-Z?
Half of the United States.
Choke No Joke painted it as he came out there and said he... You know, figured out everything.
That's not what he said.
So I went back and watched it, and I was like, Vlad didn't say. I don't even like Vlad. I was like, he didn't say that.
Yeah, yeah. He said Keefe D wrote a book.
Keefe D talked a lot also.
Yeah. So, like, I knew I had heard Keefe D's name, but you know, I'm not involved in the underworld in that way. So I would be like searching out for pictures of Keefe D.
Right.
Like the first time I saw that I actually knew he was a real person when we sat down with Vlad.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I noticed, I was like, I have the same polo shirt. But other than that, you know, I mean, this was the worst kept secret, you know, in hip hop that, you know, Orlando had shot him and Keefe D was like all these. You know, and it just so happened that, like, there are 4 people in the car, 3 of them are dead. The one left over is Keefe D, and he likes to go and talk on the internet.
It's crazy money B.
And what are we talking about?
Talking about Keefe D being arrested in about the Tupac case, the however many years later. What was it, 90?
26.
Okay, 26 years.
26 years, like
1996.
96,
yeah, at
right?
At this point, it's wild, because I think if you're referring to what Money B said, is like Tupac's been dead longer than he's been alive.
He said that.
He was 25 when he died, and it's been 26 years.
He's like, his mom's gone, so, you know, how many people can actually benefit, I guess, from the closure, if you will. You know, at least that's what I took from Money B, but 26 years, that's a long time, man, for a dude just to get arrested. Now, Keefe D got to be in his...
He's in his 60s.
Late 50s, early 60s.
It looks like this has been weighing on him, because he looks terrible.
He had cancer before. That's what made him start talking the first time.
So he thought, okay, let me get this out before the last person in the car is
exactly.
Dead.
So he ended up doing that and then put out that book and ended up beating the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Just to get arrested.
Yeah, I mean, all Vlad said was what Jay Moore said, was that this is the worst kept secret in L.A.
I have to agree with that.
I mean,
yeah.
everybody knew that this is who did it or who was part of it, and he spoke openly about it, and pretty much he's not the type of person that was throwing rocks and hiding his hands. He's literally been saying it, and it took this long for him to put a case together in order to actually arrest him on the charges. So, I mean,
and like you said, he's the only one left, so somebody got to get it. It's him. Plus, like you said, he didn't help with all the interviews and the book. And so, yeah, it might be a wrap for Buddy unless he has a good lawyer and something else. But I think he might be.
Suge is saying that he grew up with Keefe D and they played Pop Warner together, and he's not testifying against him, and he don't want to see anybody go to jail. At the end of the day, free Keefe D is what he said.
That's a good source of it's a good resource, isn't it, for somebody to come out, man, for you?
That's crazy.
He said that for real?
He said that out of his own mouth. He's also said
what a friend.
Yeah, right.
He's also said that when they pulled up on him, when they start shooting at him, he looked him in his eyes and didn't pull off. He's the one driving. So, I mean, I think it's a lot of mystery and things that happened that night that we'll never know.
I agree.
You get back in your cell, Suge.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he probably had something to do with it at the end of the day.
I don't believe that. That's the whole one of those things.
It's possible.
Where it's like, hey.
I don't think it's far-fetched.
He got grazed.
But you know what? He'd be like, okay, now, open fire. I know I'm going to be in the car, too. Yeah. But make sure to shoot up car. Yeah.
But don't hit me.
It's kind of far-fetched, it seems. But,
I mean.
I've also heard that he paid off some people that were involved in the shooting in order to not mention his name in anything. I've heard too. So, and this is after the fact.
I just can't believe there's a case that's, I don't want to say being settled or that's about to be opened. And we were kids when this actually happened.
I was
that
a senior in high school,
man.
But I mean,
on my birthday,
word leaves for Biggie.
True.
Because I mean, that whole,
they're all stuck at the LAPD.
That whole time period was crazy.
Yeah, because we know who did that too. Mm. Watch, there's
Puff Daddy.
No, that's, you know.
Don't ask Gene Deal.
This is like the type of lore in hip hop that I'm not interested in at all for some reason. It's just like.
I was, because it was.
I mean, like now.
Oh,
like,
I got
you. Know, it's like.
Versus back then.
It's like people have like entire YouTube. You know, channels
conspiracies and
stuff. For going deep dives on this stuff. I'm just like, man, I don't know, and I'm never going to know.
So,
I got to that point, because at one point in time, I really thought that Pac might still be alive, based off how Machiavelli album came out and who that was based off of and how he faked his death. It was just too many coincidences.
I was in that camp a little bit.
Like, you remember at the beginning of Machiavelli where it sounds like somebody says, "Suge shot me."
Yeah. And then the producer was like one of the disciples, one of Jesus' disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And you never heard from that producer ever again. Yep. After that, it was just mad weird.
They had me for a little bit.
I was young, though, so.
I mean.
That's my past. I was 18.
Well, you know, there's 5 letters in Tupac, 6 in Shakur. Or wait.
No, but
this was
56. And, you know, 56 divided by 8.
There's somebody on YouTube that will have
7-day theory.
You know what 7 days means.
Yeah, and then he died on the 7th day.
Yeah, the
7-day theory. It was all kind of stuff that was just making sense.
Mad number ciphers were popping up.
Kill me with this hood, man.
It makes my head hurt.
Makes my head hurt. Nah, I mean, it was mad number ciphers floating around. And to Lone's point about YouTube, there's still fresh content coming up.
Yeah, because YouTube wasn't even out then.
Right. So there's fresh content coming up now about stuff that happened with him back in like 96. They're still bringing up stuff and number ciphers and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I remember the grainy autopsy picture that would pop up on rotten.com of Tupac.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people would be like, that's a dummy and this, that, and the other. I don't know if that was a real picture or not, but it looked like it was Tupac.
Look, at the end of the day, F Keefe D
and
F Yolanda Saldivar, because it is Hispanic Heritage Month.
Hey, say that. Yolanda's the one to kill Selena, right?
Yeah, exactly.
She foul.
Yeah, no love for Yolanda Saldivar.
Yeah, I can't stand her.
I don't even like the woman who played her in the movie.
I don't either. Can't even watch that movie no more.
Because I'm like, maybe this will be the time where Selena don't get shot.
Hey, I'm the same way about all movies where a hero dies. I don't like watching it. I might watch it up to a certain point, then I'll turn it off. because we know how this story ends. Mm-hmm. So I'm done.
Yeah, I ain't mad at that.
Like the Malcolm X movie.
Yeah,
I can't watch that one. No,
I can't watch it.
That's a good movie, man. That's a good movie, though.
I got to turn it off as soon as they start singing. Change gonna come. Man. I got to turn it off
with the tradition with the trademark slow Spike Lee shot.
Can't watch it no more, man.
Man,
maybe it'll be different next time.
That's how I think. What I was like, okay,
that movie is
maybe
fire.
I watched Ready to Die or the Notorious. I was like, maybe they won't get him this time. Maybe he'll drive off. But no, it's no.
No, man, you got me thinking about that now because there's a lot of movies that have a guy or the leading lady that, you know.
Yeah, I'm cool. I don't want to see it.
It doesn't bother me. Sorry.
All right, man.
I'm just contributing to the conversation. That's all.
That's cool.
That's all.
Well, I was like, no, I don't care. Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. Not one bit.
No, I mean, I've watched The Red Wedding multiple times.
Well, that's different, though. I wanted him to die.
No, I didn't.
You did?
The Red Wedding?
Red Wedding.
That's when Rob died and...
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I'm thinking about...
Same when Ned Starks died.
Yeah, that was bad. I'm thinking about when...
That was...
What's his name?
That was tough.
Joffrey.
Oh, I've watched that more times than...
Man, that was so poetic. I loved it.
He deserved to get cooked.
And the way he went out, too? Yeah, that was great.
He got cooked.
Yeah.
One of the best suggestions Lone ever made was... make me
you know, it was better.
That. I know, man. I know.
You literally was just on vacation.
I could have. I
on
know.
On a plane.
I know.
You could have downloaded a couple episodes. I'm kind of convinced that you just can't get right, man. You one of them type people.
So the rest of this episode is going to be dedicated. It's going to be a therapy session for May 7th. We are going to do a confrontational, what do you call it? When you sit around a room.
Intervention.
Intervention. Yep. Yeah. It's intervention.
Can't get right, man.
So let me go ahead and pull up the wire here on the screen. We're going to watch it.
We're going to watch it together.
Speaking of people who need therapy and intervention, did any of y'all see that Kanye West rant?
Yeah,
he talked about how he shouldn't have gave Teyana Taylor them records and Nas is rapping all off
beat.
Man,
he's talking about his own record label.
He's like, I'm not going to be good. I can't be good records because good is the enemy of great.
I laughed.
You made this up. I mean, you created this.
Bro, I laughed so hard when he said, that's like me giving out three dark fantasies. I said, brother.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Who lied to you and told you that these three projects were three dark fantasies?
That Daytona
fantasies,
was tight.
Guy.
It wasn't no my dark twisted fantasy.
Thank you, man. And then he's talking about Nas rapping off beat. I'm like, y'all couldn't have had that
Nas
conversation.
Nas rapping all off beat.
And he didn't shoot a video. With me and word.
Hey, yeah, he's my guy, but he be on one.
It's so old though. These are old rants too.
Like
right?
From 2017.
I just let it go. Honestly, this makes me think that there's a rollout or something because I believe he had a listening party somewhere.
I don't know.
So maybe this is a part, you know, people will leak stuff just to, you know, get him in a conversation again, but
that's true.
Perhaps that's what it is because this is mad old footage, bro.
Yeah, it's funny because he's talking about how
you ever gonna finish Donda too?
How what's his name? Well, that got leaked. A lot of that stuff got leaked.
Yeah. Didn't he say Shorty? What you call it? Was an industry plant?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He's saying that Cardi B is an industry plant to replace Nicki Minaj. So I imagine how he feels about Sexy Red because he was talking about all she talks about is F him and get some money. Just comes up with the most. What do you call it?
Somewhere. I can't remember how he put it.
But
yeah.
I want to know how he feels about Sexy Red and Sukiyana.
Didn't
right
Kanye
now.
Do a record with Cardi or am I tripping?
No.
No, they haven't done a record together? Okay.
No, I take that back. They did
I thought
that
they
song.
Did something together.
It didn't do nothing.
Feature?
It was a song with Lil Baby and Kanye. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought
the
they
song
had
where she
something.
Goes, it's electric. And that's the only part of the song I can remember.
Kanye's on there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's.
Where?
Showing feet.
He's like the last. It's like the last, you know, it's one of those songs where honestly, nobody plays anything past the Cardi verse.
Man, I ain't never heard that.
I thought they had been on the record together at some point.
Yeah, they had shot a video. It was a dud.
Mm.
So, you know, I can see where you wouldn't remember it.
Y'all see that.
Was it Lil Baby or Dirk?
I think it was Lil Baby.
Okay. Nate Jesus.
Featuring. Was it Dirk? Okay. Maybe.
Well, he said Dirk and Kanye.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah, which, yeah, whatever one. Like I said, I don't get past the first verse whenever
Chicago
I hear.
Boys.
Y'all see that J. Cole verse on the little boat?
Sheesh.
Heard
man.
Heard it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice.
Lil Boat tried though. A for everybody, you know.
I mean,
he was
like,
out there trying to rap.
Smith seemed like that.
I mean, no, I'm just saying he really was trying to go off.
He facilitated because
on that last song, you know.
Yeah, I don't hear that too often from
Gucci,
you. That's what
Gucci
I'm saying.
Gucci got up with J. Cole's Glamour on that song that they got together.
Yeah, J. Cole is popping around, hopping around.
J.
And
Cole's like, I'm not gonna have y'all talking about me like this again.
Yeah,
he's shining everywhere. No matter what type of record it is, he's shining everywhere he goes.
I like what he did on the record, but Gucci got him.
Gucci Mane.
Hey, but this record with this verse with Lil Boat is crazy. This came up in a conversation I was having whilst on vacation. Question was posed to me. It says, if an artist isn't on the streaming platform, do they still exist?
Yes.
Basically speaking about the importance of streaming platforms versus, I guess, an alternative would be what, Bandcamp or something like that, direct to consumer. Platform. But not like Tidal, like it's not a subscription. Like you can be an artist and just sell music direct to consumer versus streaming, I guess is what I'm thinking, as an alternative. Or maybe if you're on SoundCloud, if people still do that versus...
That's a streaming platform as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you think Bandcamp is... You look at that as a something like Tidal or...
Can you define it?
Well, I think to me, streaming platform is Tidal, Spotify, right. Apple Music. But with Band... Because there's not the same type of direct to consumer. Where you
still can stream. Yeah, I mean,
you can think it's similar?
You can stream everything on Bandcamp without purchasing a lot
it's
of
absolutely
things.
Direct. It's actually more direct to consumer. Yeah.
Can't you put projects up on Bandcamp and elect to stream or not stream?
Yes, you can.
Because I know sometimes you can just put the records up and say buy it as a whole project. Mm-hmm. You get what you cop.
Right.
Right.
But it's still a streaming platform.
So maybe we're just being too nuanced here. But so you just mean like the major streaming?
Yeah, because that's basically what. The conversation was about people saying that you have to be on one of the big two or three or whatever Apple Music, Tidal, and we'll say Spotify. And if not, it's very hard to exist as an artist.
I don't think it's hard to exist as an artist. I think it's path of least resistance.
Okay.
If you will. I feel like it's the easiest way it's the easiest tool that you can utilize to put yourself out there with a whole bunch of other people. But there are a lot of artists that are out there that do release music strictly on Bandcamp. There are artists that strictly release music on Patreon.
Good point.
You know, is it a massive amount of people? No. But you know, the question that you're kind of pondering is kind of like a philosophical question. You know, like if a tree falls in a woods, does anybody, you know, yeah, it still exists, but yeah, you know,
because streaming platforms are pushed so much. That's I consume music on Spotify every day.
I don't.
When I'm at work, I'm listening to, you know, if I'm listening to a playlist or something, I usually go to Spotify. But to your point, I know plenty of we know plenty of artists that do well. Strictly just off Bandcamp. Now, you made a good point about Patreon. I haven't subscribed to it, but I know of it. Where people, they just release content exclusively through that. But, you know, just the conversation was about the importance of the streaming, because that's where everything is now. And I just was telling the person, I know people that eat that aren't necessarily depending on, like they won't even have all of their projects on Spotify, but you can find everything on Bandcamp and whatever exclusive thing they offer.
So
you see what I'm saying?
So they're pretty much, their argument is the top three, if you will,
right.
Apple, Spotify, and Tidal are necessaries.
Yeah, it's like a necessity in order for you to be, I guess, amongst everyone else. Like if you don't have those, then it's going to be hard for you to be successful. And I think there are so many artists that have created their own lanes and have cult followings. I'm not sure if it's necessarily, you know, a necessity, because we've seen people survive, you know what I'm saying, where... Their streaming numbers might not be crazy, but they can go pack a show out.
I think it kind of depends on how accessible the artist wants to be. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure. If you want to kind of be like a niche artist that doesn't put all your things out on streaming platforms, pretty much your fan base is probably that same type of person, essentially. And what I mean by that is somebody that doesn't necessarily conform to everyday ways of consuming music and art. You know, these are people that are... They like to go digging for music and...
Well, they're treating it more as a piece of art as opposed to just a commodity.
Right.
Just because, product, yes.
Yeah,
I like that.
Streaming, like we just talked about these three releases that came out last week, it's so easy now to pick up your phone and be like, it's Friday, let's see what all came out.
Right.
Listen to a few things, you don't have that same feel that you did once before when you actually used to have to go buy it. So I can see... Somebody kind of being old fashioned or wanting to maintain kind of like that nostalgia feel of their releases to do that. But are they somebody that relies heavily on their musical art to eat, or are they working another job as well? Because everybody can't survive like that. It just kind of depends on your fan base.
Yeah, I think that's probably the more important. The thing is if you have a fan base that can generate enough money to eat off of, let's say on Bandcamp, you probably don't really need the streaming platforms. But to get those fans, you're probably utilizing at least social media to some degree, which I kind of look at streaming platforms as a different version of social media in a way.
To drive traffic to Bandcamp.
Or to drive just streaming platforms are just kind of where everybody lives.
Right.
It's kind of where the music lives. You know what I mean? But like there are definitely artists. I mean, if you do the numbers, you know, like if you put your numbers up, like how much you make on streaming versus if somebody buys just a handful of records directly from you, or they buy a piece of vinyl from you. I mean, it takes a lot of streams to equate like one $20 or $30 vinyl sale.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, that's for like maybe one song. But if you're like selling an entire piece of vinyl, that's like 20,000-30,000 pieces of, you know, streams.
Yeah.
Good point.
With the Killer Mike record, which I've probably played more than any other individual record, I guarantee I haven't played it enough to generate enough for it to count as one sale.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like I did buy
he had it on Bandcamp too.
Vinyl. But you know, like because if I appreciate something enough, I'm going to try to buy the physical or make it, you know, like a situation where I actually put some money in said artist's hand.
Yeah. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like whether it be when they come to town for a concert or I get a t-shirt, it's something.
Right.
You know, but you know what? I will pose this to you guys when we talk about, you know, if it doesn't stream, is it really a thing? Think about that last Black Star album and how we other than the fact that we talked about how we couldn't listen to it or we didn't listen to it.
Still haven't.
And so because if it was on streaming or at least somewhere, I mean, now it's on Bandcamp, you know, all these months later. I'll just be honest.
The thrill is gone. Use
Bandcamp. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like because we couldn't stream it in the time between shows, it really didn't exist to us.
Yeah. For sure. That was in the back of my mind as I was saying all this too, because there is, I think it depends on, there's so many different factors that are at play here, but I think a lot of it has to do, the thing is like, it didn't exist to us, but it did exist to a lot of people, you know, at the same time. So it's, you know,
I know some people that actually went through the process.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's people in our comments that did as well. So I think there's something to be said. I don't think I'm over here trying to make an argument for not needing streaming platforms, but it's not. Let's be clear. Like it is the place where most people do check stuff out. And I would definitely throw YouTube in there as well. Like if you don't have a YouTube presence, then, you know.
No, I'm with you.
You know, so yeah. No, you make a good point, Jay. Yeah. So
that is a good point, Jay Moore. That's a good point.
And I would probably err on the side of that. You know, there's no artist that I would work with, you know, start to put music out and not suggest they put their music on streaming platforms because it's relatively easy. It's just something to do. Now, I think the other side of that argument is that if they ask me, well, I think maybe the conversation may be a little bit maybe there's just some lack of information around understanding that just because your music is on these platforms doesn't mean that you're actually going to stream.
Okay.
You know, I think until you become a massive, massive, major artist, you're going to make more money, even as an independent artist, from these one-off sites, from treating your art as art itself.
Agreed.
And if you, I would suggest approaching it from a manner of, yes, put it on all the streaming platforms, but at the same time, figure out a way to make your art feel like art to people to where they want to buy it, they want to hold it. You know, give them something to hold. Bandcamp's cool for people that want to just support people and they want to actually download the files. That's why it's kind of cool. Most people don't care about that anymore, which is why most people just stick to streaming. Yeah, but if you have a way to where you can create a Patreon or you can create your own website and you can sell your own merch and all that stuff, I think that all that stuff is super relevant. I think they're just married together.
You make a good point about the downloading the files, because I've had projects or, you know, stuff come out exclusively on Bandcamp first, and my inbox is full of, man, this is great, when is it coming to streaming? I get that a lot. People will say, man, this is dope, is it on streaming platforms yet? And I'll say, nah, this is just an exclusive release right now. Appreciate your support if you want to pull up. You know, openly, I'm saying that. But a lot of people are like, yeah, man, this is dope. Can't wait for it to hit the streaming platforms, right?
I think a way around that is if you're an artist, and this would work for you as well and other people, is YouTube is kind of like a hybrid. It's kind of like this thing that can act as a streaming platform because there's YouTube music and all your music gets distributed there. But it's also something to where, like, sometimes you don't want to put your stuff on streaming platforms if you're putting out like a remix or you're putting out something that maybe has a crazy amount of samples in it that you're afraid, you know, you don't want to go through the process of saying that you own something that you own. But if you put it out on YouTube, you can reach the people that typically would stream, but also you can, you know, you can get it to those people easier. And so I think a combination.
Also can monetize it. If you have enough people, followers or whatever.
For sure. So like if you get to the point to where I think at the very bare minimum for the people that are just anti-streaming, you have to have a YouTube and a Bandcamp. You have to have both.
Minimum.
Because you have to be able to reach those people that just want to be able to press play on your stuff in an app that they use. And everybody has a YouTube on their phone. You know, and it's nothing to click that link. As opposed to going to Bandcamp, their app's a little clunky. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you have to download the files. You know, it's like, it's not where all your other content is. You know what I mean? So
I have a good friend of mine that get in the car with him. You think he's playing from a streaming platform. It's from YouTube.
DiCarlo did that for years, didn't he?
That's what I'm talking about.
Shout out to DiCarlo.
Shout out to DiCarlo.
That's what he does when we're in, you know.
Bro, he'll literally get in the car and you hear the ad playing. He'll hit the skip button and YouTube, then the song come on.
YouTube is now YouTube music. So, I mean, literally, it's all together.
Yeah, but even if you don't subscribe to YouTube music, you can still just use YouTube.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, yeah, so.
But, you know, to your, when you've had people say, oh, when can I stream it?
Right.
You understand, people have playlists set up. They want to add you to their playlist.
That's a good point.
That's how I listen to music. You know, when I'm not listening to individual, I have playlists set up for, I got my reggae playlist, my 80s card party playlist. I got my, you know, classic hip hop playlist, you know.
What about that other one?
Just other vibes that are already set in stone. And maybe I want to add you to a particular playlist. That's kind of how it works. Yeah. You know, everyone now, like, that's why, you know, I mean, we've been critical of people who are releasing these long projects or maybe it's too many projects in succession. But like I said on the last show, like, I have a playlist where I'm like, okay, this is my Nas King's Disease Magic playlist. Mm. I've made my own best of. And, you know, here I am, old man. You know, these young cats, this is all they do. This is all they've ever done.
True.
Is create their own playlist based on whatever streaming platform that they have. So I know it's kind of crazy for, you know, to try to, you know, look, I'm just going to say, if you are an artist right now, you need to figure it out and get on these streaming platforms, because that's how people discover music. That's how people listen to music. And it's not going to go back in the other direction. I am someone who will still buy physical media because I come from that era of wanting physical media, wanting to be able to support an artist that way. But, you know, even when I saw on the last Little Brother album, they was like, hey, when are you going to press up a few CDs? They're like, absolutely not. You know, they're going to get some vinyl. There might be some merch.
They had that wax though.
But if you're waiting on someone to press up some CDs in an era where new cars don't even come with CD players, like the PlayStation 5, I just found this out. Like, I had no idea. Like, it doesn't play CDs.
Yeah,
the codec is not even the ones with the disc drive. It'll play your Blu-rays, your DVDs, but they're like, there was no reason for us to invest the time and energy into making sure this thing can play music CDs.
That's crazy.
So
I didn't even know that.
I mean, honestly, you know, young artists.
Dancers do it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And have the, just like I play at this one, I'm like, okay, well, I have this little bit of a platform, you know, I play artists who are from Indianapolis. I put their songs in the mix.
Yeah.
At the club.
I think there is something to be said too about, like, breaking away from this to some degree. Some artists are able to do it though. Some artists are able to, like, break away and create their own thing. But all of the people that can break away from streaming in that aspect, they have a big enough fan base. They have a big enough fan base that they can actually do it.
I was going to say just that it seems to be the ones that can thrive are, you know, super established. They've been putting in a lot of work and the fan base is going to be there. Whenever it drops, there's X amount of people that are going to be there.
Yeah.
So maybe their route is, like you said, if you're younger, of course.
It's necessary.
It's just necessary, yeah.
It's necessary, but at the same time, it's not going to save you. You know, like just because your music's on streaming platform does not mean anybody's going to listen to it.
It still has to be good.
There are stats out there. There's some stats out there of like how many songs went unlistened to that are actually out on streaming platforms.
Oh, for real?
And it's a hilariously high number.
There's a bunch of songs that have never, like even, people haven't even gotten one of their friends to go listen to the song.
Like zero plays?
Yeah. Zero.
Yes.
That list is huge.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up. But, you know, like.
It makes sense. Think about you. You pretty much listen to the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
That's how everybody is.
Yeah. You got me there.
But people think that just because I did the work to put it on the platform, that's all that I have to do.
That's the first step.
That's barely the first step.
Yeah.
You know, like and when it comes to the marketing, that's not even part of the marketing. That's just prepping yourself for the marketing. Yeah. So it's
bare minimum is getting it up on the streaming service.
Yeah. That's like, you
still
got
to be able to find it. Remember, didn't Alchemist and Earl Sweatshirt do a project that nobody's heard because it's
named as something else or something like that?
It's like hidden online somewhere.
Yeah, I remember we had a whole conversation about, you know, how are we going to find this album?
Yeah.
I actually found something that was supposed to be what it was. It's called Mezleaks is what it was called. I don't think it was it, though. But I made a YouTube video of all those songs and put it out there, and people were, I mean, that video blew up because people thought that
they thought it was it.
But it wasn't. But, you know, I don't know.
That's neither here nor there.
Yep. 38 million tracks.
38 million tracks with zero plays.
So music industry website Music Business Worldwide highlighted a statistic from Luminate, an entertainment tracking service, that 158 million audio tracks were streamed on various DSPs like Apple Music and Spotify in 2022. Shockingly, 38 million tracks on those platforms received zero plays last year. That's almost a fifth of the tracks.
That's a high number, man.
Think about how many albums come out every single week.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
And you know, and I think about, you know, I'll just go through, say it's my, you know, favorite artist of mine, and it'll say, oh, suggested, you know, and I'll go, okay, I'll check that person out. And I was like, oh, they put out an album last year?
Yeah.
You know, somebody who, you know, has had hits. Or, you know, this is the crazy thing with rights and for whatever reason, the first and only Subway album, not available for streaming.
It's not.
You know, and I don't know what that could possibly be about, because when you type in Subway, it's like a white rap group.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Oh, for real?
Subway.
Not white.
Subway album.
There was
an R&B group from Chicago that was on Biv 10.
And they had a slow jam standard called Let Me Be Your Fire.
Yeah, Fire.
And I just looked up one day.
And Gangs We Play.
Yeah. And the whole album was not available. You
Gangs
know,
We Play was
if
fire.
You type in, yeah. So, and then, like, it's like sometimes you could type in just the, like, I was looking for Lauryn Hill. And I typed in Lauren like you would type it without the Y. And there's a whole artist named Lauryn Hill who got like 4 or 5 albums. Has nothing to do with Lauryn Hill.
That's actually super smart, because even if the music sucks, you can get streams based upon
people searching for
people. Just like there,
like,
was
messing up the name. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like DaBaby, and then like there's DaBaby. Like it's crazy what the variations are. Sometimes you'll be looking for something. You're like, wait a minute, this isn't who I thought it was, or it'll be somebody with a gospel version of New Edition song. It's always like, honestly, going down that streaming rabbit hole will take you into finding some stuff you like, or like you find out, it's like, oh, I didn't know 112 put out an album.
I want to start an entire label where all the artists are like weird names off of other art. So like 113 would be like, one, you know, it'd be like Old Edition, you know, stuff like that.
We need
stupid.
You need a The Baby, THUH Baby,
yeah,
The Baby.
Like,
just what people are going to search.
Or Tyler Baby.
Hey Baby.
I'm going to do a Tyler Swift album.
Tyler Swift.
Or, you know what, you can go on, when you go on and you start, you know,
Tyler Shift,
going
Taylor
to
Shift.
Your rabbit hole. Like, first of all, like, soundtracks are already a thing that's really hard for them to do, because
there's
so many, between sample clearances, between, like, people being on different. You know, like they just got to the point where like the Mo Money soundtrack,
which actually has
the entire thing is available. Like, because for like years it just wasn't there. But then you'll find stuff where like someone else is uploading an artist
YouTube.
Who doesn't have. No, not even on YouTube. Like there is somebody that you can stream the remix of Jodeci's Freaking You with Raekwon and Ghostface.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not through Jodeci's account.
Mm.
Like somebody else just posted it up there, and like sometimes they find it, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
You know, there's just stuff that's up there. Like if you look at it, it's like, well, I guess they don't need this, or someone is not checking, you know, or even when you go on YouTube, like the way hip hop videos are sometimes curated, like there are some people you can tell they got their content locked down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, okay, who owns Up Rocks and why does Up Rocks have so many people's videos? You know, I mean, I know they have Talib Kweli's People's Party podcast and the video for that. But I'm looking, it was like, I'm looking for the Lady of Rage's Afro Puff. Why is this on Up Rocks? Why isn't it on Lady of Rage? You know, why isn't it on her Vivo?
Is this, whatever. An, is this an old, old, are you talking about, is this like an old video?
Yeah, the Afro Puff, I mean.
Yeah, Afro Puffs is like.
Or so sometimes what channels will do is like if it's an old video and it's not like represented on YouTube anymore. I used to do this too. Like I would find like a video that didn't exist and it would be on like a random channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just take that video and like re-upload it with like proper credits and proper like links to where you can get it and stuff like that. Meaning like the content ID is still connected to it, but it's just like, you know, so I've done that in the past for a handful of like videos, like super old ones, you know, like from like the 90s or something where you can't find them anymore. But
there's just some people who's like, okay, they got it on lock. They got it locked down. You think like all of Heavy D's videos are under him. All of Brand Nubian's videos are under them. But like you go on up, you'd be like, why is Gin and Juice on here? You know, why is, you know, this particular, like it's a lot of songs from soundtracks that wind up not having, you know, being listed under the proper person that they were actually created by. It's kind of crazy.
Just to Nate. Nate says there's a group called 444 who put out an album called Jay-Z, which is interesting because like that's technically like I've ran into issues in the past with song titles that I had named based upon popular things. And they made me change the song title name. So that's, yeah, like if I couldn't put out a song called Jay-Z because they look at it as a way of literally manipulating the algorithm.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. I think I had a song called Game of Thrones or something.
You did, which is fire.
They were like, yeah, no, you're not going to do this.
So it's called Thrones.
Thrones.
You know what I mean? But, you know, like stuff like that though, you know.
I have to listen to that record now after seeing everything.
Yeah.
Cause I just was like, man, whatever you're talking about sound good on this song. B was fire. Now I have to go back and actually listen to the name dropping that you did for the characters. Cause I know there's hella names in that song.
You still won't mess with The Wire though. That's just so strange.
You know, we're not
going
to stop.
This is not going away. Yeah, this is not going away.
Can we shout out our partners real quick, buddy?
Sure.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Welcome back to the New Old Heads podcast, where you can become a patron for $3 a month, else you suck at life.
Hey, man.
Yeah, you don't want to suck at life.
Get come it together. On.
Give us that $3, yo.
$3.
I'm not trying to go back to jail.
Jay Moore, tell them what they spend on $3.
Yeah, exactly. They don't even $3, you know, you might have just bought you a couple Snickers bars.
Yeah.
$3 to get you some coffee.
What else?
Get you half a hamburger.
Exactly. You can't even get a full hamburger, but you're getting all this content for $3. $3 can't even get you any of these streaming memberships.
You used to be able to get three items off the dollar menu, but
no,
with
dollar
inflation,
menu,
you can't even do it no more.
Dollar about that tax.
It's a $3 menu now. And think further. Is if you sign up for our $3 on Patreon, you also get this 2 hours that we do on Twitch in audio format for free. That's uploaded every week, which you can't get anywhere else unless you watch it live.
And it's uncut and raw.
$3 is all it costs.
All about mud pies.
Yeah.
$3.
So I'm just saying.
Tax.
If you think about what $3 is, that's late fees on stuff.
It is.
That you don't even realize. I mean, when you think about what $3 can't get you now.
Yeah.
And you think about what you can get for $3 if you just become a Patreon.
Oh, $3 can only get you 2 White Castles.
Can they even do that at this
maybe
moment?
Only 2.
You know.
Maybe.
You know, we used to be a proper country where you could go get yourself a whole value meal for $3.
Mm-hmm. Used to be $2.99.
Exactly.
And that was supersized.
And now
was, wasn't
you
it?
Go to McDonald's, you'd be like, well, I'm sorry, I might as well go sit down somewhere and eat.
Might as well.
True. So $3 on Patreon.
So
uncut 2 hours, and we also have other stuff as well. Plus, you also get access to Discord and to vote on topics and all that other cool
stuff. You can also do another raffle to give one of these cool ads. You know,
so. Yeah, giveaways.
vinyl.
We got records.
You know, we're not just trying to take your money.
We got mugs. We got a website where you can go get these mugs.
Get you some mugs.
I'm telling you, for $3, what this is the best value in America as far as entertainment.
For $3?
Yeah.
You can't beat this for $3.
Yeah, you probably should actually take the time that you're going to vote next year and just sign up for our Patreon.
There you go.
Y'all registering to vote, but you won't become a Patreon.
And you ain't going to miss some time and headache.
You ain't going to miss that $3. You're not going to miss it when it come out.
Exactly.
You need to set it up.
And
set it up on payday.
They're upping the price on stuff. You know, if the PlayStation membership is going up, they're going crazy with the Netflix prices.
Yeah, man.
$3. This is the same $3 we've been charging for a minute. We're not going up. All we want is for more of y'all to pay the $3.
Come on, man. We just like Arizona teas and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Same price. Prices on the can.
Yeah, man.
They actually went up, though.
Did they?
Did.
$1.69.
Whoa. Okay. Right. Well, I don't. Clearly, I ain't been messing with them, so I didn't know.
I fool with Arizona, but I mean, I do.
But now it's not 99 cents.
I bet you at some places still got the 99 cent on the can
because they didn't. Because they got a bunch of old stock.
Oh dang!
Sign up today before we go up to $4 next month.
Yeah, exactly. Get it how you live because we lock in our prices.
All right, I'm gonna play some audio, gentlemen, from the goat, one of the goats, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and. I'm trying to jump in and see what y'all think about his comments on DJing, push button DJing.
The end of DJing. I just said earlier that technology doesn't have shit to do with DJing. Like, I don't understand this whole thing that people are mad at the sync button. Don't use it if you don't want to use it. But if you want to use it, use it. You know what I have a problem with? I don't mean to get on my soapbox. I think people start realizing that the reason why you DJ is for them people out there to have a good time. They don't give a fuck about a sync button. Stop worrying about shit that the people that you're supposed to be DJing for don't worry about. They don't worry about what kind of equipment you use. Being real, you got 10,000 people at a festival. 700 of them see you. They don't know what you're using or not using. Like, I'm tired of people complaining about the wrong shit. Play good music and stop worrying about a sync button.
I feel like I've heard that before.
I hadn't seen this one. Yeah, I hadn't seen this one. And my question was going to be, how do you think purists, people that are anti, I don't know if you want to call it evolution or anti, you know, because things evolve and stuff gets easier. We talk about that as producers.
So they're religious is what you're saying.
Yeah, perhaps.
I mean, you literally just answered it, though, when you said purist.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about a purist, they want it to be a certain way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to evolve in this game, essentially. And you have to use it the best way that you know how to use it. And if you don't know how to use it, then people are using crutches. Now, I understand some people's qualms about syncing and things of that nature because it's literally locking the mix for you.
Mm-hmm.
But those that use sync, you have to know how to use that sync right because it'll lose it too.
Yeah, it will.
You know what I'm saying? So if you get out there and you think you about to just do a whole sync set and not actually pay attention to what's going on, you're going to crash and burn.
You can still get exposed.
You will definitely get exposed because technology can only get you so far. Mm-hmm. You still have to know how to use it and you still have to have a musical ear in order to put together a set that people are going to like and enjoy. But I mean, I understand when people don't like certain forms of the technology, especially when it comes to the art of DJing. I feel like after you learn how to use turntables, you can do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. That's me personally. If you don't know how to spin on wax, like if you show up to a set and you can't DJ because they have two turntables, then you don't know how to DJ.
Mm.
I mean, because you have to start at the foundation and then explore your other options. That's how I personally feel about it. But once you learn how to do that, the world is yours, man. Do whatever you want to do.
Look, man, let me tell you something. I remember when Serato hit, and a lot of people thought Serato was cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just because it's like, wait a minute. You know, because, you know, thinking about if you had invested 10, 15, 20 years into this incredible vinyl collection, and then somebody comes along and is like, well, you just put all the files on your computer.
Yeah, right. Sure.
And you don't have to carry any crates. I mean, like, that was detrimental to the Astrovan. You know, because
you took away somebody's job, too, because a lot of DJs had an up-and-coming DJ
carrying crates
for them. That's a problem because we don't have anybody. There's no youngins carrying crates. They just go out here, get whatever program they get and download the songs from the play. They look at the playlist of the town they live in. And you could tell. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm there are people who will play on certain nights. I know this sounds like some real stuck up type stuff, but
talk
like
that.
You can't play on Friday and Saturday at my spot because I know you've never touched any vinyl. You didn't learn on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can tell by the way you play, you like people think they're doing something. I was like, this is how a lot of DJs who are just Serato hood DJs, they expose themselves. They think they're doing something when they play Make It Last Forever.
Great song, by the way.
It's a great record, but I'm like, that's probably the only Keith Sweat song you got because you think, okay, yeah, I'm a show them something here. I'm putting some keys. No.
I don't even know that record.
Yes, you do.
You know it.
Yeah, you do. I'm not going. He knows that.
You know, but I will say this, man. Like, you know, I remember when there was the whole thing with Serato and getting up here with the vinyl. And, you know, the girls in the crowd, they just want to hear their songs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what stood out to me.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you just got to make them sound good. You got to put it together the right way and make sure that you move the crowd. Because a lot of you, even if you have the traditional tools, you sitting with two turntables, you got Techniques, you got old Vestax and all the vinyl, but you're still not moving the crowd.
Yeah, still don't know how to use it.
You know, and some now.
Because he alluded to knowing what to play. At the end of the day, you still have to know
music.
How to play, what to play.
That's the thing is a lot of people, you know, they think, okay, I want a DJ. I was like, can you really hold this down for 4 to 5 hours?
Man.
Yeah.
So can I bring up another from the person that works at a DJ school?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely do.
Now, granted, I don't teach DJing, but I'm around DJs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's some students in the chat literally right now that have went through the whole program that are, shouts to Alex on the cut, is super dope on the cuts.
So what's up?
Govenator's in here. He's been through the program as well. Why do you, I think it comes down to like, I'm very much educational when it comes to this stuff. So I don't necessarily want to like clown on somebody who doesn't, you know, like who wants to use the sync button and what, you know, what it's different strokes for different folks. But there's, I think the bigger point about the sync button and, you know, using vinyl and all this stuff is just how much better of a DJ you're going to be if you don't have to use that as a crutch. Mm-hmm. So why do we learn how to scratch? We teach scratching at the school, not so that you can be the best scratch DJ in the world. It's so that you know how to get in and out of records in different ways. So if you know how to get in and out by doing this type of baby scratch, or you can do this thing over here, or you can cut in and out of records, then you can flip it and you can do some more advanced things to get in and out of records, and you can be a better DJ and people be like, oh, what is that person doing on top of playing the records?
Right.
I think what Jeff is kind of getting at though is just people, it just seems like a very much like the purist.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely the purist.
That's like, that's what that comment is towards.
Other DJs listen to other DJs and look and see what they do and don't like certain things.
Mm-hmm.
To his point, people in the audience are not paying attention to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people.
Some people get up are.
Some people are. But it's less of the majority than
very small that portion.
Aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
I've seen people get up and scratch their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people ain't paying attention, but the people who are actually into that part of the culture.
Right.
Some people might be annoyed that you're doing that.
I get annoyed by DJs that go extra off on that on like a party night.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need you to get up there and show me all your skills. I just want you to get in and out of good records. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
At the end of the day.
That's what it really matters. But I do think like the skill of being able to DJ without the sync button, being able to DJ with platters that are moving as opposed to platters that are standing still is a big difference.
It is.
You know, and if you can't do one, but you can do the other one, you're going to, you know, yeah, cool. You did good at one party, but then you get invited to a bigger party, but then you can't do anything with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like learning.
Yeah.
It's important. You know, it's just like with everything. Learn. You got to learn it.
Well, I think the key is, my bad.
No, you're good. You're good.
I think one of the keys is actually knowing how to use all the equipment that can be presented to you, because you can show up somewhere. You're not nationally known, so you can't have a rider and say, I expect this mixer to be there, I expect these turntables to be there. You might show up to another state, another city, you didn't bring your gear. Mm-hmm. You got to use this gear that's presented to you.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you have to know how to use this equipment, and has nothing to do with the sync button. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to expand your palette, know how to do other things, and it starts with turntables, in my personal opinion.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Even if you just want to blend, it starts with being able to, the turntablism aspect and learning how to do basic scratching and stuff like that.
I think all three of you all have a unique perspective because you are around just the concept and the craft of DJing more than I am. You being in the school, obviously Terry being a dope DJ, they more being in the club. So that's why I wanted to hear what, you know, especially what Terry wanted to say and all of you, but especially him, because I know how he gets down on the tables. But the main theme is you still have to know and have a vibe and a sense of what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can't bypass that part. Like, what's the theme for, what's the academics? It's not the mission statement.
You can't download practice.
That's what I'm looking for. That's real. Like, you still have to put the effort in and you know, hone your skills and your craft. You can't bypass that, no matter what buttons you put in. Terry saying that you can still get exposed without the sync button. I wouldn't have known that. You know what I'm saying? So I got put on
exposed
game.
Exposed with the sync
button. I'm sorry. Yeah. Exposed with the sync button. I wouldn't have known that because to a novice, it's like, well, I'm just going to hit the sync button and I'm straight.
Don't work like that.
You know, and you put me on game with something with that comment.
I will say, if you're out in the club trying to use virtual DJ, that's whack. Do not be in the club trying to use
virtual DJ. What is virtual DJ?
It's a free program.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but for you to... Look, I had this issue with somebody. Like, they were trying to use some program that was not Serato. At this point, Serato is the industry standard.
Record box. So you get worried if you don't see Serato?
If you're going to play in a professional setting, you better have your Serato updated. You better know, like, what the... We had... At one point, we had, like, the Rain situation, you know, up to date with... But we realized, and those are moving players. There's some DJs that just don't know how to use that. Yeah. So Terry's played before in my spot. You know, we have the night. It's a Pioneer. We have a nice setup.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that is the minimum basic standard for what you should be able to play on.
Exactly.
If you want to play in a professional setting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had people come in and they're like, they bring their little Fisher Price joints in. And like, because the difference in a lot of these things are the sound cards.
Yep.
Like,
absolutely.
I learned that at Treese.
This is the thing. Like, because, you know, shout out to my man DJ Lockstar. He'll bring in, because he gets the newest of the new.
He gets stuff early.
Yeah.
Early.
And so he'll plug it out, you know, because when we're playing music in the background, I'll have the little playlist going and we'll plug in from what we have in the booth already to his, and it sounds like a whole new world because the sound cards are so much different.
Yeah.
You know, but so when you come in with the Fisher Price joints and you plan to play off a virtual DJ or whatever it is, or, you know, my first DJ controller.
This is real,
like,
man.
This is real. Oh. You know, and I'm like, yo, you didn't care enough to at least. Yo. Serato is free.
Man.
You really don't have to pay. The virtual DJ be trying to charge you to do just for output.
You really hurt my feelings right now, bro. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you
why. And I'm not done. I'm going to let some of these little toy DJs know what time it is.
Why this is on my mind,
too.
Yeah. Why this is on my mind, you really hurt my feelings because you low-key just described me at Treese. Because I had my little Newmark joint out there.
You were out there playing beats.
I was playing beats, but
it's a little different.
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter because I'm going to tell you why.
It's a little different.
It doesn't matter.
When I was out there, he talked about the sound card.
You
heard how mine slapped in comparison to what his did, right?
Yeah, because you did have to keep tweaking yours.
Metronome was in the background on his iPad doing this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the sound card was trash.
Yeah. Yep.
And I learned at that moment, and I had Serato Lite. Yes, I downloaded Serato Lite.
What is that?
I mean, it's the same thing. Lone Star, it's the same thing.
Yeah, okay. Serato,
It just ain't the full version where you got to pay all the money.
It doesn't have stems and all
you
that
You don't have
other
to
stuff,
pay money for Serato. With the equipment.
I don't have the equipment, though. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still on the Fisher Price joint.
Right.
So I learned a lot about that in sound cards at Tree. So he's preaching. You were definitely describing me, brother, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, and also, this is something else I'm going to give you. If y'all playing a lot of sound effect, if you playing like that and the glass breaking and you're playing the like Young Fentanyl got you in the mix. Stop that. I'm going to tell you right
now.
Lean
on me.
Because you know what? All that does is like, he's trying to cover up some suspect mixing.
But again, a lot of people don't care about that aspect though.
Yeah, because you got to remember, a little pistol starter might have 100 people in there. You know what I'm saying? So you in the mix with Young Pistol Starter.
Which it goes to Jess' point. I mean, we're having a very much like specific conversation of like how you can get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How you can go from, you know, I agree with everything that you're saying, Jay. But at the same time, to Jeff's point, most people really don't care.
They don't.
You sound like a purist, Jay Moore.
Maybe
you sound like a purist.
I mean,
at the end of the day, I think a lot of us on this show are kind of purist in a sense.
I'm not saying, you know, I'm not, but you know, I'm just saying.
But I came up around DJ Cut in St. Louis and DJ, sure. You know,
Trackstar
and Chaos, and DJ Rec One,
Terry,
BJ the DJ. Then when I got here, I met, you know, DJ JF,
yeah.
And I met DJ King. You know what I'm saying? I met DJs who
DJ World.
And then, of course, you know, somebody.
Top Speed,
who I've been around basically the whole time I've been here.
Metronome.
So, you know, DJ Lockstar, these are people who've been in the game since the 80s, some of them.
Yeah.
And so when you show up and you took so little care into trying to play music in front of people that you couldn't even download the newest version of Serato, and then you in here playing all these loud sound effects over your bad mixing. I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about it.
Hey, man, you going to stop talking about me, man, and Trees, bro. Yeah. Real talk, man.
It's really, the only thing that really burns me up and hurts my soul is virtual DJ. I ain't even gonna lie to you.
I need to go see
something about that virtual DJ mess. And I've seen people post mixes,
all that freeware
online, mm-hmm. with like pretty much screen recording the virtual DJ mess. I'm like, are y'all serious? And you call yourself a DJ?
Yeah.
Like, that is so whack to me.
I used to make virtual DJ mixes back in the day.
Yeah, I remember buying a little.
This is before I was, this is like years ago. Yeah. I'm talking like
you know
15
better.
Years
you
ago.
You know better now.
Oh, it's be-
better.
I remember I had a little.
I've DJed a wedding with virtual DJ before. Wow.
You DJed a wedding? Where was that?
Not here.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
You like, you just go to every gig that Lone has or had, huh?
It'd be your own people.
I'm just saying.
I did it as a favor to somebody. You know, I was like, yeah.
I feel like I would have heard that story.
They're like, can you DJ? It was one of those conversations to where, like, sometimes people don't know the difference between a music producer and a DJ.
Right.
True. And she was like, hey, can you DJ this? And I'm like, yeah. I got the stuff to do it, I guess, if you need it in a pinch. You know, so I did it. And I was just like, this is weird, man.
I ain't going to hold you. I got mad. It was a tournament.
I have Serato now, though.
Yeah.
The full one.
He said he got Serato Light.
I was like, I didn't know that was a
like
thing.
Diet Serato.
I shouldn't have said that in front of him. I shouldn't have said that.
He got Diet Serato.
I shouldn't have said that in front of him.
My first.
It's Serato. A real thing, though, man. Come on, man. Anyway,
but you're gonna say something?
Nah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, to Jeff's point, I still agree with Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think that we just took it a step further. Like, if you're going to, I think you need to. I would just approach it, you know, like, sure, if you're using the sync button and your blends are dope. And you're doing well, then that's great. You know, I'm guessing that if you're doing well at it, you're probably going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
But what we're kind of talking about, I think, is a different type of crutch and a different type of invasion of people that just want to DJ because they think it's the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of that.
They download 200 songs, get their Fisher Price DJ and think, hey, why am I not DJing at the biggest club downtown?
And all of a sudden you got booking information.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. That annoys me to no end.
I love it, Terry.
Man, when somebody like you started DJing, all of a sudden you started DJing like a month ago, and you already got booking information talking about you want to get booked in all these cities. Come on, man.
You could barely DJ when in people, your basement.
Listen,
you want booking in?
When people have literally put in work to get to where they're at,
talk
you think
them.
You're going
to
bypass all that by making flashy little promo things? And what you still know.
You want to book?
Doesn't work that way.
You want to book DJ
it
Funky
does,
Fresh?
Though.
It does, no, it does, but it
they'll
does
get booked.
It.
They'll get booked.
I don't know.
Look, I had somebody
DJ Funky Fresh will get booked.
They may not get booked the second time.
I had somebody run up on me. Is like, yo, you know, because I've been DJing for almost 6 years. I'm like, 6 years, you say?
Cool, man.
6 years, look, you say.
I'm not trying to. I'll keep it real, guy. If anybody listen, yes, I am dismissive of some of your foolishness.
Yeah.
But it's because I've been doing this since the 90s.
Yeah,
man.
You know, I've been, you know, between radio, commercial, college, rocking, little part. Like, I know what it is to have to rock for 15 people and still give them the same show I give them for 1,500.
We've had.
Hey, Jeezy.
What's up?
He said they only charging 50, so they getting, yeah. They pretty much are undercutting the good DJ.
Yeah, and you
by
get
charging
what you pay for.
And if I'm not a DJ, but if I was to take just a wild guess, that would destroy the DJ ecosystem. With,
well, that's
with
what's
Goofy's
been,
being out
that's
here
what's been going on a whole lot.
Okay.
Like, I've missed out on gigs because somebody undercut me. But I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, why would I? They looking at it like, why would I pay DJ J Diff and get a real experience when I can get DJ Orange Ball for like $100.
You know what I'm saying? Some people don't care. You know,
they don't realize the importance of it until that person shows up and is DJing their party.
So let me. Like, they don't have any speakers.
Being a DJ is a public service job, and if you up there just doing you and your super skills, man, the people.
That's why I don't DJ?
And the people, and
literally,
I like, believe you, Long.
You can't be in, you know, in your head to like, yeah, I'm gonna show them something. And it's like, no, they want to hear the songs they like.
They want to hear those.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't care.
You have
about
to understand where you are now. The thing is, that's what makes when we've talked about what makes Coach's Tavern Take That Tuesday so special is people come in there and they understand what time it is.
That's why that's the only place I've ever DJed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because if you want to come in there and they're like, hey, can you play said song radio that comes on every 45 minutes? We will tell you no. And it was like, well, me and my friends are about to leave. And we'll be like,
bye.
Have a good
evening. But it's her birthday.
Bye, be like, happy birthday.
What did 50 say?
Oh, man.
We don't give a F about that
your birthday. We really don't.
I felt so bad when I made that mistake. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he learned.
You learn.
Yeah,
you live and you learn. So there was a tweet that you pick four producers to produce a classic album with zero samples. Who do you trust to pick? And it's got a picture like Scott Storch, Primo, Timbo.
Primo?
Ninth, Dre.
That's all this. This is foolishness.
Hit Boy, Manny Fresh, Alchemist, RZA, and I can't see who the last person is. Who is that, Terry, in the corner down there? Terry might know.
Who is that?
Lil Jon.
Is that Lil Jon?
Okay.
Shout out to Lil Jon. All right. And then Ninth says, everyone, even the ones on here that you think didn't sample, replay the sample, laugh out loud. Name five albums that's deemed to be a classic that contain no samples.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts going into some tweets about, you know, how samples connect generations. The 70s connect the 80s and the 90s, and young people don't stop sampling because it's a part of the culture and the heritage and all that. And I'm like, yes, keep going. And there's so many people that were shooting albums out, and he was striking each one of them down because he knew, you know, what was involved with what. It was as simple as UGK on
UGK got all the samples.
Exactly. Oh, it was UGK. It was Manny Fresh on a sample that he used on one of his joints for 400 Degrees. Like, people were just naming all these lit albums and just striking out. I don't understand why this triggers the concept of sampling, which is a core foundation of hip hop. I don't know why that still triggers people now. With sampling is the wild, wild west. Now, everybody samples. Like, you hear samples on, like Lone talked about clearing, but I hear stuff with samples everywhere. Sometimes they're hidden, sometimes they're replayed, sometimes people know how to chop. But I saw so many people that were triggered by, man, you shouldn't be up there because you sample. And I know for a fact that you wouldn't be able to be a part of this group because you sample too much and nobody wants to hear sampling and all that. And I'm reading through the comments. Why is sampling so triggering?
Can I say something here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So one thing that I teach in the music production class that I teach, that I created, is that there's two fundamental things with creation. One is audio editing and the other is MIDI. There's some form of audio editing on every song, whether or not it's like a record that's not, you can take a sample from a sample pack and you can chop it up in a specific different ways, and that's still sampling.
Agreed.
You can take Terry saying some words and then just record it into a microphone and then take that audio and then chop it up. That's sampling.
Great.
I think, is this a conversation specifically about like sampling old records or known records? Or is it about just the idea of like sampling? Because if it's just about sampling, no producer out there does not sample.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Yeah, remember the Cosby Show episode where Stevie Wonder was sampling everybody?
Yes.
I mean, it's a fundamental part of
on the one.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental it's a fundamental part of making music. It is utilizing both MIDI aspects and original aspects. Even if you're playing everything, you may take a lick that you play and maybe it's audio, and then you chop that up and you like that sampling. You know what I mean? Like, so
I'm so glad you said that. People, I think there's a misconception with sampling as it relates to hip hop, that every sample is looping.
Right.
It's just
looping known records.
A huge looping, like a break beats and all that type of stuff. Yeah. I feel like people just, it's a fail safe. It's like, I'll just fall back on that and just say every time I want to diss sampling or try to discredit sampling, all y'all do is loop. Like, you'll hear people say that. It's easy to just go find a loop. And shout out to Ninth, because he was shooting people down left and right talking about, well, can you do it? Like, I saw him answer a few people and be like, yo, well, can you do it? Can you go take a record and chop it up and manipulate it and turn it into something else? Because that's what all these people that you're talking about have consistently done for years.
Right.
RZA, Primo, all these guys. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Even Timberland, Pharrell, like they've sampled both of them. Yeah. Both of them, Manny Fresh.
I mean, they're known.
All these dudes sample.
They're known because they sample less than some of these other producers, they still sample.
Thank you.
Their style of sampling
Big
is.
Big Pimpin' is a sample.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
So
every single one of these kicks and snares that you hear most of the times are samples.
Yeah. Blowing their drum kits, which are full of what?
Samples.
Yeah.
They're going to say, we don't know what we're talking about, but the drum kits are full of samples.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those areas where, like, you really need to sit down.
You got
to
sit down,
you're,
fam.
You're not going to challenge sit down. Me.
Somebody even really before, thought they made a dope argument.
You're not going to challenge me on this
you
one.
You sound stupid.
I wish y'all could see the replies. Like, if you get a chance.
I mean, I can only imagine. We have a graveyard of replies in our comments.
Bro.
But, like, even before somebody was sampling.
I like graveyard.
Somebody was actually sampling. When someone came up with, like, a drum riff or something like that, another artist did that same drum riff. They just played the same pattern. You know what I'm saying? They continued to do that. Even guitars and bass, things of that nature. They were just actually playing it rather than sampling it with the equipment.
We have one of the segments that is kind of evergreen for us is our one where we said stop sample snitching.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because people will come in and there's this interesting part of hip hop fandom where it's just based around like the beats and the samples, and they don't understand all the areas behind the repercussions of why you don't sample snitch.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it interesting that people will write paragraphs about this stuff.
Oh my God.
Sampling is just such an interesting thing to where that's why I asked you this specific question. Is this about like looping known records and whatnot? Because like if they're saying like, oh no, it's easy to take this Rick James sample and loop this two bars up, or as opposed to chop it into a million different pieces and put it back together, like, is there a difference there? Yes, and there is a talent that's difference between that two, but that doesn't mean that it's more that like you're more talented if you can play like an organization of notes from this measure to this measure. Like, they both take...
Especially if your melody interesting is type trash.
True.
Long, here's a good one here. He says, when they were talking about the album, like the albums, he said, a person said albums, probably not, but producers, Organized Noise, Scott Storch, Manny Fresh, Vitamin D. Ninth responded, laugh out loud. Next episode, replay sample. Ain't no thing, sample. Spotty, sample.
Spotty.
Oh, Spotty, I'm sorry. Spotty, yeah, Spotty, sample. Crumbling Herb sample.
Because Herb is a known. You can hear the Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, that was like.
That's what I'm saying.
But that just shows you like this person who wrote this and thought they were doing some real thought provoking stuff might be like 24 years old.
I think that's. Also, I think it's part of a disconnect, or maybe not a disconnect, but it's one of those things where some people just equate looping to sampling.
Yeah,
like it's just like straight looping.
I think to me that's the main culprit.
I think so as well.
I think that's the main culprit.
I think it's like arguing two separate points at the same time and kind of yelling at the void.
Because it's like, okay, right now, like Coi Leray and Busta got the song, and it's basically they rhyming over the same sample that Jay-Z and Foxy used for Ain't No.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's somebody who's like, yeah, I'm a producer. I did that. I was like, did you really?
Yeah. There's definitely low effort.
I mean, there's a lot of that. Just we talked about the NBA young boy, redoing Hot in Here. And we're like, you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of that. And I understand where, like, you might see that as lazy and derivative.
No, that was a...
Or was it NBA?
No, that wasn't NBA. It was a... NLE Chopper.
He's all the same people to me.
You close.
No, and I understand, but like, it's the same way, like, okay, Nicki just had that song, Super Freaky Girl. It was basically just a loop of Super Freak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Doja Cat just did the Walk On By sample, which is
the way she flipped it is nice, though.
You know, that Paint Town Red is dope.
But it's still like the loop. But I'm saying like the loop is like the... most known. It's like bum 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 bum.
It's got the vocal sample in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Lone, to your point, now Lone, Ninth is echoing what you said about sampling. Mm-hmm. You talked about just chopping. He says, so if I think he meant, so if you take a bass stab from a record and put that one note in my keyboard and play a bass line, what's the difference? Nothing. He's talking about pulling it from a record. You know the process. I gotta tell you that. You know the process. That's
sampling using MIDI.
Thank you. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, sampling, you can't get away from sampling. Sampling is a part of the music production process, unless you literally have a studio to where you record every single sound and it's one take. All right, everybody, record. And then it plays for 3 minutes and you stop and you don't touch it.
Yep.
That's the only way it's not sampling. I know people are going to be mad at that.
If you don't know what sampling is, look up Danny Elfman.
Yeah, I know Danny Elfman.
Yeah, he did. If you didn't know, he did the score for Batman and Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he created his own sound library for him to do scores of movies.
I think he did Edward Scissorhands, too.
Yeah, so he's worked
a lot of those 80s movies.
And a lot of, basically...
And Men in Black.
He is... He's like the master sampler, because he's created these banks of sounds that he creates songs with.
Yeah.
You know, and scores with. I mean, and the thing is, a lot of them aren't even, they're not original. I mean, they're original to him, but I saw a thing on him 60 Minutes and I was just like astounded. Yeah. It was incredible. Look it up if you have time.
I think so. To Knight's point on this argument, which I think is great that he's,
I mean,
that he entertained it.
He's riding too.
Because it's at the end of the day, even the people that you think don't sample are sampling. You know what I mean?
And you know what? I learned, because back in the day we used to obviously read the liner notes and, you know, all that type of stuff. But once I started reading that, that's where I started to pick up on XYZ on bass, XYZ on horns, XYZ on keys. You know, I used to do the whole explanation. I'm like, man, I thought that was, you know, just something that they ripped, but it wasn't. It was live. Like, Dr. Dre has a lot of people that came in and played a lot of stuff over a lot of those records that we love to this day. Scott Storch was one of them, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, like, production is way deeper than just getting "you can't touch this" and doing a 4-bar loop, fam. Like, don't try to discredit any of the other
music. I think it's crazy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's crazy that people want to eliminate one of the pieces of essence of this thing called hip hop, which is sampling.
Facts.
I mean, it's just part of what it is. And when you're trying to rewrite history, so to speak, by saying, "Oh, this person is better because they don't sample," that doesn't make that person more hip hop than somebody that does sample. It just doesn't work that way.
One of the dumbest arguments that I've ever heard or been presented in my life as it relates to sampling is a 3-6 Mafia fan telling me that sampling is whack. I said, "Sir, we can no longer have conversations about hip hop.
Yeah.
If you are a DJ Paul fan and you look me in my face and told me sampling is whack,
come on, man.
Your card has been revoked, sir. There's nothing else we can talk about. You clearly haven't been paying attention." Shout out to Willie Hutch.
Or you're just such a fan of these people, you don't want to believe about how they get down.
Or you just really pressed to be right and you're an idiot.
Well, that's what it is a lot.
Because there's, I can't really talk to you, fam, if you say you don't like sampling, but you a 666 fan.
The first song that I really became aware of 3-6 was a Lisa Fisher sample for Late Night Tip. I was like, and I had to tell somebody about this maybe a couple, 2-3 years ago, where I was like, you know, Late Night Tip is "How Can I Ease the Pain."
Come on, man.
And they're like, they didn't know the original record.
"Sipping on Some Scissor."
Come on.
Is a sample.
Come on.
All their stuff is samples.
What's my joint with the
Who Run It is a sample.
My joint with the Izzy Brothers sample on it's the "You All I Need." Set. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Yes, you do. Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Keep singing it.
You got to give me a little bit more than that.
"You're All I Need."
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? "You're All I Need." They be in the back.
Why did you want to sing the hardest part of that song?
I mean,
you just sang the hook.
That's the fire part. That's fire. I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, that's the sample, bro. Like, cut it out, man. When you hear the sample, you're going to laugh, because that's how Ron Isley be.
You're just going to keep going.
All right.
But yeah, quit it, man.
Got some sound bites for y'all to sample.
Yeah, I want my money, though, if they sample me saying "say it."
Then you singing something from some
other
artist.
I said it. It don't matter.
I'll give you 2%.
Dang.
When I sample you.
You going to... Let me stop before you have a beat ready to play in 15 minutes. Yeah, let me stop.
I actually put one on a max...
I don't know.
The one where you were like...
Yeah, he's using me on that, yeah.
I put it out. I'm collecting streaming royalties off of you.
Hey, man, if you use that, say it, though. Just use it right if you go use it.
That's funny.
Oh, man. All right, man. Is there anything else that we...
Sampling is hip-hop.
Sampling is hip-hop. And it's a lot deeper than you think,
yes,
madam.
Yes.
Sir.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
we ride out. Did I forget anything? Anybody got any shout outs?
No shout outs.
No shout outs.
Somebody get any props? No, we done.
Shout outs to Patreon.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to
do that.
Shout out to you putting $3 on your card.
Talk to them.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? If you got a Chime card, go ahead and hook it up.
Yeah, Chime. We take Chime.
Yeah, we take Chime.
Take it all.
We take food stamps. No, we do not take.
Bro,
if you go to our site, you can literally there's like a Linktree button on there.
Sir.
There's literally a PayPal donate button on our site.
Yes.
But there's also a Linktree which links to a Buy Me a Coffee. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's kind of like Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
I made one for us randomly about 6 months ago. Somebody randomly donated from the Czech Republic last week. So shouts to you, homie.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
Shout out to all my people in Czech Republic who get down with the new old heads.
Yes, no, we appreciate y'all.
But then, of course, there's Patreon where most of the stuff lives. But hey.
And if you see on that Linktree, if you see a link that says food coupon, that's where we want the food stamps. Take those two.
No, because you mess around.
They don't make food coupons.
First
anymore,
of all,
sir.
You were the one.
You know
who
I'm talking about.
Was acting up, talking about You would get a bunch of healthy stuff on the food coupon.
I would. 100%.
Yeah, he would get frozen vegetables.
Yeah. He mad at us because we gonna get tomahawk steak.
Yeah, and scrimps.
Yeah. Prawns.
Don't be out here buying that that bad spinach, man. It's got salmonella in it.
Yeah, man. E. coli.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Do better. I'm gonna get my tomahawk steak and watch. I don't know, The Wire.
Yeah,
The Wire is good.
All right, y'all. So we'll see y'all next week. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. We appreciate the support as always. Shout out to the chat if you stuck around. We appreciate you. Love y'all. See y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Goodbye.